Hello and welcome everyone to Leaders in Elder Care, the interview series designed to share with you some of the many people who are doing great things to change the face of elder care today. I'm Ryan Malone, founder of Inside Elder Care and your host for Leaders in Elder Care. Before we start, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so at leadersinelder.com by clicking on the subscribe button in the top right-hand corner, or you can also subscribe through iTunes via the normal subscription process. So let's get started. Joining us today is Ellen Dunnigan. After a successful career as a speech pathologist working with elder adults afflicted by strokes and other neurological diseases, Ellen led the development of communities for people with Alzheimer's and other related dementias in the long-term care sector. For the past 2 years, Ellen's been a catalyst behind a unique and innovative model for care for people affected by Alzheimer's who want to remain in their homes and want to be with their children. Her care management program called Solievo brings relief to families providing daily care for their aging parent. And I have to admit to everybody, it took me 3 or 4 times to pronounce it correctly. So how are you doing today, Ellen?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So today should be a lot of fun. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about national organizations. We've had, you know, a writer on so far. We've had a nonprofit that works nationally. And one of the fantastic things about the show is we get a chance to meet people like yourself that are doing things in a little bit more regional area. So let's jump right in. Tell us, what is Solievo?
Solievo is a care management process. We work with families who are caring for somebody in their family who's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or related dementia. Solievo is Italian for relief, and that's really our goal. It's to bring relief to those caregivers. And we sort of do this in a three-step process, and that's kind of what I think is unique about the way we approach care for people with dementia. This three-step process, you know, in the first phase of it, we assess the home that the person is living in, and we do what's called a home safety review. And we kind of ensure that all the aspects of the home provide for the safety needed for the person who is aging in place and for anybody who's going to be working with them. And in the second phase of our process, we assess the person that's been diagnosed with dementia, kind of find out are they in the beginning stages, in the middle stages. We use a couple of different nationally known and researched tests to do that. And we look at their life history and then design a routine full of personally meaningful activity to ensure that they have opportunities for success and that they still feel needed and that there's a role that they play in the family on an ongoing basis. You know, many times we've found that families who are living with this see that because of the memory loss, they don't quite know what to do with Dad anymore. They're not really sure how much Dad can handle. They know that there's been some difficulties. And more often than not, we're finding that they're glad to have their father still residing in his home or in their home, but they're not sure what to do all day long. So oftentimes the person with dementia is relegated to menial tasks or is sitting in front of a television a good chunk of the day, and that's not going to help the day go better. And it's certainly not going to help the night go better, because then I haven't been doing much during the day, so I'm not ready for bed at night, and that's not a good situation for the families either. So we help them come up with some better strategies for during the day and be able to make sure that everybody can sleep peacefully at night. And that brings us to our third component of the assessment, and that's really to assess the family caregivers involved and sometimes to assess neighbors or anybody else who might be involved. Nowadays, we find, of course, that family includes people that aren't necessarily relatives, but it also includes all your neighbors and friends. So our goal in that part of the assessment is to ensure that we bring relief to the caregiver so that their quality of life is not diminished and that the overall family quality of life is still really good. We've certainly seen in some statistics that people who are caregivers are wearing themselves down so much during this caregiving process that they're not really effective with the person with the disease. So our goal, as I said before, is to bring relief to those caregivers, find a way for the community to really serve them. And so we design a plan that works for all three phases. You know, what's the home environment like, what's going on with the person with the disease, and what's happening with the caregiver. And we connect them with trained resources. And when I say trained, I mean people that we have effectively trained in what is dementia, maybe what is it not. Maybe that's the more important part. And how do you respond to people with dementia? How do you get the best out of them? How can you make sure that the family situation is a good, dynamic family situation? And we work with all of those folks involved to kind of give them the resources that they need that are in the community. You know, we've had a lot of folks in the community who provide services for families, and yet nobody really connects all those disjointed community resources together. And that's the model that we've built, is really a bridge to all the resources that may be involved.
So how so you mentioned there's three areas that you focus on in assessment, and I think a lot of people that listen to the podcast are familiar with the term geriatric assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about your approach is that you're assessing the home, you're assessing the individual, so more of a traditional geriatric assessment, I assume, but I want to ask, and then the family. So can you tell me, what kinds of things are you looking for when you assess the home, and what kind of things are you looking for when you assess the family?
In the home,
what does that assessment entail?
It is a geriatric assessment, and in specifics, what we look for is that there is safety in the home. So, for many people, you hear the initial assessment is always take a look at the environment, make sure if you need to grab bars or anything physically that you've got those things in the bathrooms, et cetera. But beyond that, and beyond the making sure that there aren't throw rugs that are going to encourage somebody to trip or fall, beyond that, we take a look at, all right, this is a person with a memory disorder, and maybe also rational thought process is impaired and judgment is impaired, and that sort of executive decision-making function is impaired. So we need to also take a look at, gosh, what happens if your mother turns on the range and forgets that she just turned it on because of her memory impairment. And so then it's on for several hours. So we take a look at all of the safety factors that are involved for a person with a memory disorder, and then figure out what can we do with that. Can we put that range on a central shutoff that sort of works by key and is in a cabinet? So she doesn't even really know it's there. Sort of out of sight, out of mind works very well in many cases. So we make sure that she still has the capacity to do things in her kitchen, but it's not going to have it be a problem for herself, for her own safety, or for anybody else in the home. So we take a look at all of that. And in some cases, we're looking at now the use of technology throughout the home, if that would make the home safer, or if it puts people at ease, puts the rest of the family at ease. So do we want to make sure that there are security systems involved in the home? Sometimes, clearly, that's the right way to go, and sometimes it's not so clear that may be the way to go. And in some cases, we want to know that there's a way to take a look at medication management even. And, what are we doing to provide safety around all of that? So
it sounds like in the home example, with the example that you gave of the stove, that the goal would be to give them a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose while kind of very passively and subtly making sure that some safety issues are addressed.
Right.
So that it's not so intrusive.
Right, and not to have all the safety put in place, now the home looks like an institution. We don't want that either. So it's really have to make sure that whatever we're recommending is still going to allow that home to be her home, or allow it to be the daughter's home and any extended family who might live there.
So what do you look for when you do an assessment of the family?
With the family, we're looking at the burden of care primarily. We certainly are going to be really interested in how does the day go and what happens at night and what are the barriers right now to everybody having a little more quality of life. And, if the parent is living with a daughter, let's say, and there's also children and grandchildren in the house, then, there's a lot of, coordination of daily schedules and all of that. And are there resources that we can provide, whether it's through education or whether it's through people or whether it's through agencies or whether it's service providers, that would decrease the level of burden for the family members and increase the quality of life for everyone involved? And that may be simple things that, people may be already providing for themselves, such as pet sitting or the services where they take the dog for a walk, or house cleaning services. And it may be as difficult as having a caregiver come in for part of the day or a companion. So we look at the level of burden of care and then try to assess what can we do that might relax that burden of care.
Got it. So you're probably looking for gaps that you need to fill in, it sounds like.
Correct.
Got it. So how does Sillievo differ from other types of care management programs like geriatric care management or things of that nature?
We take it the next step. You know, our job really is to decrease burden of care, find the coordinated resources in the community that can help the family. So where it might be, where you might see that geriatric care management has been relegated to assessment and education of the family about the disease process and making sure that they're coordinating their care with their physicians, we take it that next step and say, oh, but there's so many more providers in this community who really do want to help these families, and nobody is really corralling them as a group and making sure that the circle is complete. And secondly, nobody's really gone to the level of educating the resources, all those community providers who don't have a medical background. They aren't clinicians. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really gone to that level of educating them about what dementia is, or maybe more importantly, what it's not, and helping them understand this is what you might find when you go to this family. So as an example maybe of that, we have a handyman who is helping a family member now and comes on a fairly regular basis. And he takes care of many of the items that need to be done on a regular basis. But, you know, as soon as he leaves, a light bulb goes out somewhere.
Right.
And following him is somebody who's delivering meals. And these are resources that we've set up with the family. So the personal chef has come in with a wonderful dinner for them, and she notices that the light bulb is out on the front porch. Well, if it's near her where she doesn't have to get up on a ladder or anything like that and she sees it, she might say, because of our education with that personal chef, she might say now to the family, you know what, I noticed your light bulb is out. Would you mind if I took a minute and changed that light bulb for you? Do you know what kind of relief that brings to the family? Oh, my gosh, somebody else noticed it, took care of it before it really became a safety issue.
Uh-huh.
And the chef knew that it was okay to say, I noticed this, and I know that that might be an issue for you. Let me do it for you. You know, and that's when our coordinated care really matters. And it might be, too, that the chef notices that there's two other lights that are on the garage door, or there's one in the canisters in the ceiling in the great room, which is way far up. There's not going to be able to change that. And we certainly don't want her doing anything that's going to make it unsafe for herself. But
right.
She calls the handyman because she knows the handyman is involved, because we connect all these resources together, and they all know about each other. So she calls the handyman, and she said, I know you're going out there probably in another couple of weeks, but I noticed this. So maybe the handyman comes earlier than he would have because he's gotten a call from Chef Christine. And that's the way we're making sure that the community is really working together to help.
You know, that's when I interviewed Howard Gleckman last week, I think, he mentioned a concept called, I think he called it intentional communities. And it was a lot like that, where, you know, people in a community agree to look out for someone else in the community. And it sounds like, you know, this
whole... Love that concept.
Everybody communicating mm-hmm. with each other to make sure that everything's okay for that particular person.
Well, and that's what
community is. It sounds like there's a lot of parallels to it.
That's what community is. And I, you know, in all of our work, I have to say that everybody we've talked to about this, they all want to be a part of it because they really love being able to help other people.
So how... So walk me through then what a typical, if there is a typical example, you know, give us an example of what a typical program of care would be for one of your clients.
Well, maybe that's best done by kind of sharing with you what our typical family is all about these days.
Okay.
And then, you know, everybody is different, but
yeah.
I'll share with you one of our families. I'll say that the daughter, her name is Julie. I'm going to name her that for now. And Julie was referred to us, Julie and her mother, who has dementia, were referred to us from a physician. And the physician let us know that, you know, things have been going pretty well in the home, but he's getting calls now every week from the wife I'm sorry, it's, or it's Julie's father that has dementia, and it's the wife who is calling the physician, Julie's stepmother, actually, and the physician is getting these calls on a regular basis and has to interrupt their daily routine to try to figure out what can they do to help this family. And the physicians are glad to do that. However, the daily calls, or the, even if it's three times a week, that's fairly frequent for most physicians.
Yeah.
So they contacted us and said, hey, we know you do this and you've helped a couple of our people before. Can you step in and see what's going on? So in our assessment, we found that the caregiver, Julie, and the stepmother, really both of them, are suffering from some depression and have both talked, and we didn't make that diagnosis, but their doctors have, and they've told us about that. The mother, stepmother, is scattered. She's having strained conversations with her husband and also with the kids, and really must handle everything. It feels like she must handle everything herself. She's fairly commanding in the way that she does handle things. So the daily situation is sort of run almost like a boot camp. You know, we have a very structured way that we approach the day. The husband, who has been diagnosed with dementia, has actually early stage dementia, and he's been a professional all of his life. He actually owned and operated a series of retail stores, and he's been fairly independent. He's now not sleeping at night, which means that the stepmother is also not sleeping at night, and Julie, the daughter, is getting called frequently to come over and help during the evenings. The gentleman with dementia rarely does things for himself. Things are done for him and to him. So as we went in and sort of took a look at all the burden of care and what's going on during the day and realized that there's, you know, pretty poor quality of life during the day and sleepless nights, obviously there's a lot of coordination of care that needed to be done there. So we set up a series of resources for them. They're now connected to an adult day program. Mm-hmm. That the husband goes to just once a week for a little bit of extra activity for himself, and he really enjoys the men's club there. And
don't we all?
That, yes, yeah. And it's a really good men's club at that particular place. So the husband is now able to do quite a few things for himself. You know, he really takes care of many of his own daily activities during the day, and he's now helping create the lunch meal and the dinner meal. And that was totally new for that family. You know, they thought that they couldn't have him following directions, so how could he possibly make a meal? And it's not about him creating the meal itself, not about the end result. You know, what it's really all about is that he feels useful during the day and that he can contribute. So even if his job is to snap the green beans, or even if his job is to cut slices of the bread, you know, he's not using a knife for a weapon, and he's not psychotic. It is that he has a memory problem, and he can't.
He's got ownership
think through
of something
multiple
that it's his own.
Steps. Yeah, so now he gets to do that. He's also taking on some woodworking jobs out in the garage, and he doesn't do the entire job, but he's sanding. And he's painting, and he's doing some of the things that he used to be able to do all of the time. And the wife now is able to get out to the gym. She, when he's at the adult day program, she's out having coffee with friends. Her communication is much less difficult with the family and with the husband. You know, it's a fantastic situation. The daughter has control over what she really can provide for the family, and they've been connected with a number of resources, and that gives everybody a little bit of relief. So in just a very short period of time, we've taken that family from a pretty chaotic situation in which the wife really felt like she was going to be asked to take her husband to, or she needed to take him to a nursing home or assisted living center. They're doing fine at home. And I don't know how long that will last, but it's good for now. And as we continue to work with them, we'll help them with the next stage. But that's a typical family for us, you know, getting people to be able to sleep at night and having the doctor call us back and say, thank you. That took care of a lot of our issues here at our office. That's pretty good mission.
That's great. I know when I wrote my book, it was the fundamental premise was to give the families peace of mind, so they knew when they
right.
went to sleep that first night in the elder care world, that they knew that they made, you know, the best possible choice that they could with the information that they had.
Yeah.
The peace of mind thing is just so important. So how so is Solievo a national organization, local organization? You know, where is your focus geographically?
We have started in Indianapolis, and our office is here in Indianapolis. We serve the state of Indiana and now have branched just slightly over the borders into a couple of our continuous states. You know, what's really great about what we're doing is the connection that we're making to other providers along the way. So a number of our providers who are companion care services and home care services have asked us now to help them with selected cities in which they're involved. And so we're reaching out that way. In addition to that, we are getting involved strategically with partners across the country. Certainly, we had already been involved in Alzheimer's care and dementia care in the long-term care community. So we've been involved with the strategic partners. But now we're really focusing a great deal of our time and effort on folks in policy, public policy making. We're especially concerned about the lack of funding for Alzheimer's care. You know, Medicare and Medicaid don't pay for Alzheimer's care. And so that's a big issue for families. And so we're strategically reaching across throughout the nation, really, in our work that we're doing with public policymakers, and hoping that that leads to not only more opportunities for us to develop our program in selected cities across the country, but really helps us do more, be more involved at a significant level, as you are really in, you know, reaching leaders in elder care.
Very cool, very cool. So, quickly, what are your so what are the goals going forward? Where do you take it from here?
Well, I think we certainly have already had some interest in business in a box kind of concept, or a franchise concept, or whatever you want to call that, and so we're exploring that. And, you know, reaching across the state lines with our own homegrown model is part of our mission. And as I said, I think, you know, where we go from this is kind of open-ended at this point, in that we really want to be involved in policymaking and helping families get what they need from a policy standpoint. You know, when we're talking about all the healthcare reform, et cetera, that's, you know, being explored right now, gosh, you know, with the baby boomer population aging, and with the number of people that we have living longer and longer lifespan, we're about to see the prevalence of dementia increase threefold in the next several years. And I think as a state and as a community, as a country, we're really not ready for that level of care. And so our mission is to help people get ready and to help people dialogue together. So we have certainly legs for our own small company, Solievo, but our mission, I think, is going to take us beyond that.
Very good. Well, that's really neat. So if whether they be policymakers or potential clients or what have you, how would people get in touch with you if they want more information on Solievo?
Our website is BeHomeLiveLife.com. That's BeHomeLiveLife.com. Our phone number is 317-218-5111, and in addition to that, we are on Twitter at AlzCare. That's our name on Twitter, and we're on Facebook, Alzheimer's Care Group.
Why don't you spell the Twitter username?
AlzCare.
Great, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time, Ellen, and more importantly, thank you for being a leader in elder care.
Thank you, and thank you for all you're doing to bring this to the forefront.
Oh, my pleasure. It's certainly a lot of fun. So for everybody out there, just a quick reminder before, I wanted to make sure to remind you to check out two websites, Inside Elder Care, which is a by families, for families approach to helping families deal with elder care issues. You can reach it at InsideElderCare.com. And also Portrait of Our Parents, which is a storytelling website designed to share all of those little memories that you have as a child with an older loved one or other elder folks in your family. That's reachable at portraitofourparents.com. Have a fantastic day. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and I hope you come back and listen soon.